Welcome back, everybody. It's time for another episode. It's time to get real with the real world of sales, a show that's really catching on quickly here at OC Talk Radio and becoming one of our most interesting conversations because our host finds the most interesting people doing really amazing things and then talks about how they sell themselves in these services here. Without any further ado, the woman who's pulling it all together here, Ashley V. Welcome, Ashley V.
Thanks, Paul. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. We want to give a shout out to our new sponsor, Earth Vodka. They've been picked as the best new vodka by wine enthusiasts, and they're right here in Orange County, so make sure you check them out. And we have an amazing guest here today. We have Marissa Almanick. Marissa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, definitely. Marissa is an author, an entrepreneur, professional dancer. Marissa, why don't you tell us a bit about where you're from, how you grew up, and how you became who you are today, being so successful?
A lot of tenacity. I'm from Miami and born and raised here. I've been dancing my whole life. And I always really, to be honest, had a vision for myself to have a dance company. So as I was telling you earlier, I at one point moved to LA to pursue commercial dancing after I finished getting my BFA in dance performance. And That's then I great. Finally moved back to Miami to start my dance company. However, the interesting part, the thing that I never really planned to do was actually professionally pursue writing. But in 2020, okay. I sustained like a career-ending double meniscus tear, which required 4 surgeries over the last couple years.
Oh my gosh.
And so, yeah. So I did this pivot, and I have been writing, just it was sort of anonymous and secret. The world knew me as a dancer and choreographer, period. That's been my career for the last 10 years. So writing was already, like, it was already, like, my secret. But here we are. I finally, you know, some things happen, and you just go for it, right?
Right. And so dancing has been, you know, a really important part of your life, and as far as, like, business, entrepreneurship, and your book. So, and you also incorporated dancing in your book, which I read, the Rebel and Venus book, and it's a remarkable book. So, why do you, you know, take us to, like, what made you decide to write your book in the first place?
Yeah, the book, I never set out to write this book, but to be honest, the things that were happening for me, along with the meniscus surgeries, I also, 2 weeks after my first repair surgery, I lost my best friend to suicide. A couple months after that,
wow,
the pandemic hit. So, you know, the industry, I mean, the world even just sort of shut down. And I think this happened for a lot of people. Aside from the personal things that had happened to me, I think the pandemic shifted a lot for a lot of people, forced us into, like, internalized retrospection. So that really happened with me. And I found myself, though, in a dark place. And I've always been a very go-getter. Like, as you said, my company I built from scratch.
And
as a woman, I always found that to be... And I was really, you know, proud of that. I've never not been motivated. And I've been told no so many times with grants. And I would find ways to make the shows happen anyway and always find a way to pay my dancers and, you know, never give up. But I found myself in a pretty dark place. So I started writing. And
writing is really healing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I found the writing I took a little bit more seriously once I, unexpectedly shared it with somebody. And the book itself, you know, here's the book. But the book itself is really about two friends. Uh-huh. And something that I really wanted to key in on is the power of our friendships beyond the surface and the power of vulnerability between friends and how that can not just save each other, but ourselves. So, you know, the book is really about friendship.
Okay, I see. And then, so the book I noticed, it's about your character and... The character, is it kind of like about yourself? Is it kind of like the book is written about your own life, or is it just a fiction book?
It's semi-autobiographical. It is fiction. Okay. I pulled a lot from, it's not entirely my story, but a lot of it is heavily inspired by my own story, yes.
Okay. Because I was wondering that, like, maybe if it was about you, why you didn't write autobiography instead of a fiction book using a character to portray you?
I think just my, you know, my background in the theater and entertainment and what I know, I love the freedom to how I want to create something and how I wanted to present something. And the book is almost written like a screenplay and a book. Okay. I wanted to take some creative liberties as well, just with how I told the story. And pieces, as I wrote, you know, I don't know about every other writer, but you sort of imagine something, and then once you get into it, it evolves. And so the way these characters and the story evolved also kind of migrated from my own true story. So it just, it didn't fit in the perfect box of a memoir. So I allowed it to become what it became.
I see. Yeah, because that's what I was wondering. You know, if you're an author and you want to write a book that's about your own life in a way, and you want to sell it and promote it, is there something there in the way you're going to promote your book that determines if you're writing an autobiography or writing a book like you did with your character that's about yourself?
Yes, I think there's definitely power in it. What I'm definitely leading with, especially with like the publicity tour, is that I do very much that this, I'm a trauma survivor myself. And so I do own that part of the book very much. The parts that are very close to home are the more traumatic parts and how I've had to navigate my own trauma. Also almost losing, you know, my own self to myself, as I said. But I think that there's also power in fiction. You know, I think that like that's where fables come from, and folklore and theology even. We use these very truth inspired stories to tell, you know, the meaning of the story that we're trying to say. So I think that when you decide to write a fiction or a memoir, as long as you're being authentic in where it comes from and who you are behind that story, I think that because of my own experience, I was better able to give actual empathetic life to these characters. And so I use that as far as when it goes to marketing this, you know, that I have that, I have that ability that maybe some others may not, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I see you're saying. And the character Layla, when she was going through a lot of traumatic experiences in relationships and friendships in the book, it was very relatable. I think that a lot of people can heal from even reading your book, and they can relate to it, and it can be really powerful for them. Is there any audience that you wanted to focus your book for?
Oh, 100%. Even the dedication, when you first read the book, it says, "For the girls and anyone daring to live a life free of shame." I think that the unfortunate truth is that a lot of female Americans, but also in other parts of the world, but this is such an American story, have experienced, whether it's like very benign or intensely traumatic, some sort of sexual trauma. And I think just also there's so much suffering with depression and anxiety. We just lost another, you know, famous actor today to a gunshot suicide. And I think that I also really wanted people who struggle with depression and anxiety and even suicide and thoughts of that to know that they're not a burden, and they can even see themselves as a hero, so much so that they're able to seek the help that they may get. Because when you carry so much shame and feeling like there's something wrong with you, I think that that gets in our own way. And I use our very strongly because I am one of those people who is still constantly navigating this. And that's
You know, that's what's really amazing too about your story is that, and you know how the book is similar, is that you've overcome a lot and you're still successful. You've been a professional dancer, author, and entrepreneur. And so I like that you overcame it. That's what I when I read the book at the end of it, how Layla she goes to therapy and she ends up you know, trying to heal from her depression and anxiety. Is there going to be a second book that you're going to write that's going to show us like what happened to Layla and how her life has changed? That's kind of something I was wondering at the end, because I'm like, what's happening next? Like, what's, you know, going to happen to her? And I was like, oh, I want to know.
I know. It's so funny. I think actually what I'm going to do, because I have actually started to write a second book, but it has nothing to do with actually Rebel and Venus. But you're not the first person to ask that. And so what I've been wanting to do with the 1 year from when it was published was just in May. I want to do a re-release of a second edition with an epilogue of maybe like 1 to 2 chapters of a what happens next, and add that in as like a special edition.
Yeah, that'd be great. I think it would be neat because it's a very good book to read. It's very fast and easy, and it's very interesting. It wasn't boring at all, and I was able to finish the book right away. It's like I wanted to always know what was going to happen next, and it was really relatable. It was kind of like reading, like taking therapy, reading the book. It was very helpful. And the book...
That's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. I think it can help a lot of people, like you said, girls, and then also even the queer community, because there were some relationships as well that you described, yes, and some, you know, abuse and different things that happened. So is that also a target audience for your book?
Oh, for sure. I definitely label myself a queer indie author. And Layla, the protagonist herself, is also queer. And what was interesting about, though, writing this, why I made Layla queer was less to do with me. But when writing this, my experience with trauma and being, you know, out and queer, a lot of times with girls or women specifically, when you say that you're now gay or queer and a lesbian and you also have had sexual trauma, sometimes that gets lumped into the same, that must be why you're gay. And so I wanted to write a character that is of both experiences and showing that one has nothing to do with the other and one doesn't inform the other. They can be two very different experiences experienced by the same person. And so that was important for me to write that into the book. Yeah.
No, definitely. I think that's great. I think that is, you know, important topic to also address nowadays. And there's just so much happening. And, you know, for your books, you know, Rebel and Venus and your next book, how are you promoting it to different groups? Like, what kind of sales strategies are you doing? And, you know, there's a lot happening in the news, and you're in Florida. The governor there is always fighting Disney and things. And
he is always fighting Disney and things. That is a nice way to put it.
So how do you get your book out there right now during these times and everything?
It has been interesting. In Florida specifically, there's like a book ban, for example, and this race theory, there's a anti-woke movement happening. So I haven't been able to, in Florida, been able to get the book into libraries or the schools because of what's happening here, which is very
bizarre. Because it's a queer book, you can't have it in any libraries in
there's
Florida.
Also a story about abortion in the book as well.
That's so they won't let any books like that be in the libraries or schools or anywhere?
Well, so what's happening is there's different teachers or parents. It's still a little ambiguous how that's happening, but they're going around into the libraries reading books. This notoriously just happened with one of the Amanda Borman poetry books.
Oh my gosh.
That somebody, like a parent, cited it, filled out a paper, and said something as basic as, like, I don't trust the way, like I don't like the lesson this is teaching my child, basically.
Wow. Oh my
and
gosh.
So because this is allowed in Florida, crazy, people are really, you know, moving with it. So as far as that goes, I've sort of been like, it's the promotion has been then guerrilla style. As far as the teenage market goes, thankfully from dance, I have this group of, you know, teenagers that I've taught and students at the University of Miami. And so through like actual personal connections, I've been able to target that specific market. My friend in Orlando who runs like
That's
this big
great.
Gay burlesque night, you know, you sort of have to guerrilla market it.
I see.
And so,
wow.
And yeah, beyond Florida, there's been a different, it's easier. I'm going to use the word easier. It's been easier to access or get the book distributed, you know, not have to fight fear, which is understandable as well.
You know, and that's what's been, it's been crazy to me because I feel like if you don't want your kids to read certain books, just tell them, don't read these books. You know, I mean, if you're a parent, like, why do you have to always patrol everything? I mean, you can't make anything perfect. I don't know. I think that's so bizarre. Maybe in California here, nobody really cares. I mean, we have like major issues happening.
Florida's always been bizarre. Like, I feel like I have inspiration for years just from Florida stories alone. But this, what's happening politically, is has been new. It's also causing a migration, which is understandable. But, you know, it is what it is. And so, like, as an entrepreneur and making things successful, you don't give up. You find your way, you know, through it. And, you know, and also, thankfully, I can also move this book beyond the state, which I am.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we're going to get more into that, Marissa. Right now, we just wanted to also mention our Earth Vodka new sponsor and give another shout out to them because they have some awesome stuff happening right now, too.
And let's do that. Let's cut to a quick commercial here while we ponder everything you guys are telling us here today. Here, we want you to cool down. If things are getting too hot out there, cool down with exceptionally smooth and clean Earth Vodka. Winner the best new vodka from Wine Enthusiast Magazine. And did you know it's based here in Orange County? Earth Vodka is made locally to reduce the carbon footprint and uses labels made from recycled paper, for example, all to help the earth and enjoy your drink at the same time. Gluten-free, made from grain, 40% alcohol, and handcrafted by their local expert team. You can impress your friends with Earth Vodka in a martini, a mojito, or other cocktails. We threw mojito in because we're talking about Florida here today and Cuba. And you can get Earth Vodka at BevMo and Total Wine and more. Of course, you got to be 21 and over to try it. But if you have any questions or if you want more information, you can contact us here or contact Earth Vodka. Follow them on Instagram and check it out. Can I ask a quick question? I'm just sitting here listening to this amazing story. I'm an old white guy listening to these new tales from the frontier here. And you're right at the front lines of where this culture clash is happening here. Was any of that an inspiration for you, or has it been an... It's clearly been an obstacle locally. I guess, was this book just accidentally birthed at this moment, or was it part of a conscious effort in your part to make a statement here?
No, it was definitely not intentional. The universe just seems to have a fun time with me. You know, like, I definitely didn't plan the four meniscus surgeries, you know, losing my friend, like the pandemic. It's just like, as the book was getting published, it almost didn't click, because sometimes information is overwhelming. And it didn't click until one of my friends, I mentor her. She was graduating high school. I gave her an early copy of the book. She sent me a picture of her holding the book in the cafeteria with her friends. But then she texted me, please don't post this on social media so we, our teacher, don't get in trouble. Uh-huh. And that's when I was like, oh, okay.
And Marissa, so, and that's also like the, it's also, your book is kind of correlates to the whole Me Too movement as well.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, this is our governor's anti-woke agenda. The book, the only thing that's missing from it is that there's not a specific black character, but there's a lot of brown Latina characters, very queer, very, very pro, you know, pro-choice. As I said, the abortion story, which is pretty graphic, also comical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, was interesting for sure. And I was like, wow, this is like a really neat, like, real life kind of example. It's like very like realistic to the situation, you know, before and after, that people really don't think about.
Well, yeah, and that's, you know, I feel like books to me have always, you know, books, I write because books have saved me. Like, I was always the girl, I would skip school and go to the library in downtown Miami. It's how learned about other experiences, or especially coming out queer, you know, early. That was like when I was just in college, when I decided to come out, and I was in Tampa for college, and there was like this one little tiny bookshelf with the gay experiences. And I read every book on that shelf top to bottom, because it was my first glance inside a world that I just, even though I knew it was who I was, I didn't have this information or these conversations. And so, like, for example, that abortion story, it's not that you're telling everybody to run out and go get, you know, go get pregnant so you can have an abortion. It's fun. But it is also, if this happens to you, here are the decisions you can make.
Yeah.
This is what it would be like. Mm-hmm. And also, you don't have to feel guilty about it, or even some sort of regret, which was also important for me, because I think sometimes you know, we're meant to feel as though we have to apologize for our actions, not just for abortions, but for women in everything, how you dress, how you speak, you know, and that can become exhausting. So yeah, I really wanted to reflect that.
Right. And it really, I think your book is really helpful for building confidence and, you know, for women, and just teaching women, you know, how it's like, you're not alone, you know, there's other people. Mm-hmm. And so how are you promoting your book in, nowadays, like, what kind of sales are you doing? Are you doing like outbound sales? Are you doing online sales?
Both. So definitely online through Amazon and Kindle, all the ebook platforms, Amazon. And then also, I also really love local bookstores. So I've been also getting distribution in local bookstores, doing a book tour. I had to put a little delay on it these last 2 months because I had that fourth knee surgery, but it's picking up in September. Wow. Which I'll be in New York.
Yeah, we hope you're you're gonna be okay. I mean, that's,
I'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, you're tough, so we know that, you know, you're tough, and you're gonna write another book, so
yeah,
it's gonna be okay.
Yeah, Yeah, and the other thing that I'm doing now is the audiobook. What was really interesting in the research, okay. and it took me a long time to make sure, because I wanted it to be done a right way, so I just moved a little slower with it. But the research has shown that for publishing whatever type of book you're doing, whether it's independent or from a major publishing house, audiobook is the number one source of sales. So I'm really excited about that. The book has been out since May. The audiobook will finally be available next month. And so that'll be the next platform, which I have yet to step into.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. I think audio, like you said, it's very helpful and popular now, because people can listen to your book as they're driving, as they're at the gym working out, as they're jogging. Yeah. It's just, you know, easier to live your life and listen instead of reading and sitting down, and things are really changing. It's becoming digital. So your book is on Amazon. Mm-hmm. Rebel and Venus is on Amazon. It's on barnesandnoble.com. And then you have a website too, right? Rebelandvenus.com?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. Which would have all this information as well as the book tour dates.
Yeah. So the book tour, that's another awesome thing that I think you were, that I saw, is that you're actually going around and doing meet and greets, right?
Yes, yes. I'm doing a live reading of a chapter from the book. And then I also have a moderator. She's an amazing friend, Lutzi Segu, and she's here from Miami as well. She's agreed to go on the road with me. But we do a moderated Q&A and then open it up to the audience as well. So the whole thing goes on for about an hour. And then I do a book signing, which is, you know, it's so rewarding, because those are the moments where this is all very new for me. But it's the connection of the readers that I really love about that part, you know, how the book is speaking to them.
Yeah, and I think it's neat. You know, people can actually meet you and then ask you questions about your book, buy your book. You can sign it. That's always fun, meeting an author.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. Definitely. And so you're on the road across the whole country or certain areas?
Yeah, I'm going September. I'll be in New York. And then in October, back in Orlando and Winter Park. And then also to Austin, Texas. And then, oh my God, Provincetown after that. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's great. Those are, those are really cool.
So we're working on some more spots as well, but that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, definitely. No, those are good places. You know, they're nearby. You can go to a lot of bookstores. So I really like that aspect too, because a lot of authors need to do more outbound sales, I think, too, for their books, get their name out. So Marissa, you know, thank you so much for being on the show today. You have an amazing, remarkable book. It's going to help a lot of people, I'm sure. So everybody go to Marissa's website, rebelandvenus.com, go to Amazon, buy her book there, contact her, and you can see where she's going to be at, so you can go visit her.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye, everybody. Thank you, Ashley.
You're welcome.
Well, there you have it. One more reason to tune in each and every time. Meet some really interesting people doing some really unusual, special things out there. And the real challenges they have selling that to the world. Selling themselves right here on Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio. Streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation Center.